Today is Laetare Sunday, which is translated in English, the word means rejoice. And the reason we wear the rose vestment is to signify the fact that we should take a little break in our Lenten penance and sacrifices and relax a bit, because we're halfway through Lent and it's time for us to get refreshed and ready to start again. So I don't know that people keep Lent very seriously anyway, so I don't know if we need to take a break, but in the earlier days of the church when people really did fast very seriously, this was a natural break in order to get started again. Now all of us need to get started again quite often in our lives, so we should take advantage of this moment to recommit ourselves to our Lenten practices and commitments. So think about what you promised 6 weeks ago. If you haven't been faithful, maybe they're too hard and you should accept something less difficult. Perhaps you're just lazy and sinful like me. And if that's the case, recommit yourself to the Lenten practices once again. So we have at least a 3-week period of serious Lent. When I was a young boy, I dreaded this part of Lent. And the reason for that was the very long gospel readings that are part of our liturgical celebrations this time of year. Last Sunday we had the story of the Samaritan woman at the well, very long story. Today we have the story of the man born blind, another very long story. And next week we're going to have the story of Jesus raising his friend Lazarus from the dead. Again, a very, very long gospel. And they're very interesting gospels, though. They're all from the Gospel of St. John. And each one of them, in some sense, is a lesson on the meaning of baptism. As you know, Lent is a period of time when the church is preparing catechumens for baptism. And each one of these gospels is a lesson on one aspect of that sacrament, what it means. I think, in some sense, baptism is a sacrament that we don't understand or spend much time thinking about, because most of us were baptized as babies and it isn't part of our religious experience. For those of you who are baptized later as adults, perhaps you have a deeper understanding of the sacrament. But what I like to do in my reflections this evening is talk about 3 of the sacraments. I'd like to talk about confirmation, I'd like to talk about the sacrament of reconciliation, and then finally the sacrament of baptism. First of all, the sacrament of confirmation. Let's look at today's first reading, which is a story about the choosing of King David to be the king of the Jews. And the lines that I would like to bring to your attention for your reflection are the following, the beginning of the reading, where the writer says, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, for I have chosen my king from among his sons.'" Now, what does it mean to fill your horn with oil? Well, horns were used as containers. You know, they didn't have plastic like we have today. And I guess it was a very good kind of container to hold something like oil. And the use of oil in the choice of David as king is hugely significant for us who use oil in the sacraments. When you were baptized, you were marked with oil on your forehead and on your chest. When I was ordained a priest, my hands were anointed with oil. When I became a bishop, the bishops who ordained me poured oil over my head. You know, so oil is a significant part of sacramental celebration. And most of us don't have any idea what it means. But we learn that, what it means, from today's first reading. You know, Samuel the prophet went to Bethlehem and examined all the sons of Jesse to find out which one God had chosen. And none of the ones who were present were the ones that God wanted. So he asked for the youngest son to be brought in from the fields where he was a shepherd. And at that moment, we hear the conclusion of today's reading. Listen to the words. "The Lord said, there. Anoint him, for he is the one. Then Samuel, with the horn of oil in hand, anointed David in the presence of his brothers, and from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. You know, the Jewish people understood that anointing, which simply means to mark with oil, is symbolic of being chosen and set aside for the work of God. Another word for that is consecrated. When something is consecrated, it means it's set aside for the work of God. We consecrate altars. We consecrate churches. You know, when the church was blessed, the priest went through the church and marked the walls with oil. The altar was, oil was poured on the altar when it was consecrated. And each one of us, when we were baptized and when we were confirmed, were similarly marked with oil. Oil is hard to get off. If I put oil on my vestment, it would be permanently marked until we sent it to the dry cleaner. But back in the days of the Jews, there were no dry cleaners. So if something got marked with oil, it was permanently stained. And that therefore became a sign of being permanently set aside for the work of God, to be consecrated. Now, that happened to you and it happened to me, as I said. And it's going to happen to those who will be baptized this Easter. We have to understand that we have been made holy. We have been anointed. We've been marked with oil. We've been set aside for the work of God. Do you understand that as part of your identity as Christians? We celebrated that with your baptism and your confirmation. The second sacrament I want to talk about is the topic of my reflection on the second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. One of the things that's interesting about confession here at the cathedral is that it's done in a very dark little room. You know, if you've been to these confessionals, they're really dark and they're very tiny. And in some sense, that seems very strange, because what confession is about is moving from darkness to light. You know, the darkness of sin to the light of grace. So we need to remodel the confessionals, Father Gill, so there's some light in there, you know, so they're not places where we're afraid to go. Today's second reading from St. Paul is about the transformative effect of encounters with Jesus Christ. And in a unique kind of way, this encounter, this movement from darkness to light, takes place in the sacrament of reconciliation or confession. It also takes place in baptism, right? When we're baptized, our sins are washed away and we are moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. But the way we renew our baptismal commitment, those of us who have been baptized for a long time, is to go to confession, you know, to get started over again. Listen to some of the things St. Paul tells us in this reading. Brothers and sisters, you were once darkness. He doesn't say you lived in darkness. He said you were darkness. But now you are light. That's what happens to us when we are baptized. Original sin is washed away. When we leave the church after our baptism, we're different kind of creatures than we were when we came in. That's what we believe as Catholics. St. Paul goes on to say, so live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Well, that's the fruit of being in the light of Christ. Then he goes on to say, take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Rather, expose them. And then he goes on to say, everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. You know, the purpose of confession is to expose our sins. Not to hide from them in the darkness, but to bring our sins to the light of Christ in order to be free from them. You know, many of us are afraid to go to confession. I remember those days for myself, you know, because we don't understand that what was supposed to take place there is the opposite of fear. You know, we move from darkness to light. And what really sets us free is not to be afraid to be known as sinners. You know, if the priest knows our sins, so what? What difference does it make? Is we're sinners whether he knows it or not, right? And if we do expose our sins to the light by admitting them and confessing them, then that darkness becomes light. We're transformed into different kinds of people. So confession isn't a place where we go every 2 weeks and quickly whisper our sins and then run away and sin and come back and do it 2 weeks later. I mean, it's okay to come every 2 weeks, but we're supposed to be changed, and we're supposed to be exposed to the light. And if that happens, sin doesn't have any power over us anymore. It doesn't embarrass us, but it doesn't also pull us down and keep us from Christ. So ultimately what this means is you need to go to confession if you haven't been to confession in a long time. You know, some of us here probably haven't been there for years. Initially maybe because we were just too lazy to get there, and then we're too embarrassed to admit it's been a year, and then we're really embarrassed to admit it's 5 years. You know, some of us have had terrible sins in our past. You know, generally they're sexual sins that we hide from, and maybe from our adolescence, and then we never mention them, so we don't go to confession, and we never get in the habit of going to confession again. And if that happens, that darkness still holds us back. You know, we need to expose the darkness to the light. So we can truly, as St. Paul says in this reading, we can be light rather than darkness. So, my dear brothers and sisters, go to confession. Now, we're at today's gospel, which is, even though it's the longest reading, it's probably the shortest part of my homily. This is a story of the effects of baptism. Here there's a man who is born blind. And like many people who aren't Christians, the Jews of this time believed that sin, or I'm sure, I'm so, I didn't mean to say that, they believed that misfortune or bad things in life are the result of God punishing us for our sins. And not only do we get punished for our sins, but we get punished for our parents' sins or our grandparents' sins. So sin is a punishment that lasts through the generations. And so when this man who was blind comes before Jesus, the questions that asked by his disciples and those standing around is, now, who caused this man to be blind? Did he do it himself, or did his parents do it? Who's the cause of this misfortune? And we learn from this reading that God isn't like that. God doesn't punish us for our sins. Sometimes our sins punish us. You know, for example, if we're promiscuous, we might get some kind of disease. But God didn't give us that disease. Who gave us that disease? Ourselves, by our actions. So sometimes our actions lead to terrible misfortunes. Or if you're unfaithful to your spouse, there's a divorce in your family. Did God cause a divorce? No, we cause those things ourselves. You know, there's sin costs. It has a wage attached to it. And it leads to great suffering. So we need to do what we can to overcome our sins, right? Well, anyway, when this man who was blind came to Jesus, Jesus bent over and took some dirt from the earth and spit on it and made some mud and then put these mud packs on the man's eyes. And then Jesus said to him, now go wash in the pool of Siloam. If you go visit Jerusalem today, you can actually see the pool of Siloam. And it was an aqueduct that fed water into Jerusalem from outside the city. So the man went to the pool and he washed in the pool, and he could see. Now, do you see the connection with baptism? And when we get baptized, we see life in an entirely new kind of way. You know, baptism is the movement from darkness where we can't see to light where we can see everything. It's obvious that this healing was transformative of this man, because when he came back to the area where Jesus was and told everyone that he could see, the people sitting around had a discussion. They said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" And some said, "It is," but others said, "No, he just looks like him." You know, he was utterly transformed and he wasn't recognized. And we can see the transformation having a growing effect in this man's life. As the reading goes on, and he's questioned time and time and time again about what happened, we see him changing. In the first part of the dialogue, he refers to Jesus as that man. Later in the dialogue, he refers to Jesus as the prophet. And then at the end of the reading, he's moved to the point of seeing Jesus as the Son of Man, the Messiah. So you can see the gradual growth of faith in this man's life, beginning with baptism, but moving towards fuller understanding in his spiritual maturity. Now, baptism is the beginning of our life of faith, right? Our eyes are opened. When we're babies, it takes a long time for this to happen. But the Christian life is supposed to be a process of growth. Baptism isn't the end, it's the beginning. And we need to understand that the Lord expects more and more and more and more from us throughout our lives. So none of you here, including me, is where God wants us to be. We're supposed to be making progress in our life as Christians. It's supposed to be marked by greater fidelity, a greater understanding, and a much deeper commitment. Is that true about you? I mean, are you committed to growing as a Christian? Or do you just want to get by just showing up for Mass on Sunday, going to confession when you have a serious sin, and just staying the same? That's not Christian life. You know, it isn't what God has in store for those who He loves and who love Him. So, the Lord invites us in this reading to move from our spiritual blindness. So ask yourself this question: what are my blind spots in my Christian life? What is it that I don't yet see? Or am I like the Pharisees in today's gospel? These are the religious leaders of the Jews, and you can see they just refuse to see, right? Jesus' disciples don't see. The blind man sees, but Jesus' disciples don't. The parents of the blind man don't see. The Pharisees really don't see. And it's only the poor blind man himself who's moved from darkness to light. And we have to ask ourselves, where are we? Do we identify with that blind man, or are we in the crowd, resistant through deliberate blindness to the teachings of Jesus? You know, another more popular way of saying that is, are we cafeteria Catholics? You know, what that means is, do we go into the restaurant of the church and just take what we like and leave the rest behind? You know, that's not what it means to be a Christian. To be a Christian means to be fully committed to the totality of the faith and to attempt to live it faithfully and with joy. At the end of today's second reading, the letter from St. Paul to the Ephesians, St. Paul quotes an early baptismal hymn that was sang at people's baptism. And these are the few words that he quotes: "Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." So that's the challenge I leave with you at the end of today's homily. You know, where are the sleepers? We tend to rest in the death of our sins, you know, the ugly patterns of our lives. And the Lord is calling us to awake and to receive the gift of His light.